Would you just lift your hands to him? Say, Holy Spirit, I have eyes that see.
I have ears that actually hear.
And my heart does perceive what you're saying to me. Amen?
Amen.
And amen. There are times when we wonder if what he has planned is going to take us to where we need to go. And we don't always understand it. So we're going to First Peter, okay? First Peter. Chapter 4. The verse that I want to kind of press in would be verse 19. And this particular scripture came to me many years ago when I was watching my dad go through unbelievable hurt and pain. And I didn't know how to act or react. So when you see someone that you love suffering, it's hard to digest. Verse 19 says, so then those who suffer according to God's will. Now, as far as I was concerned, God's will is not for us to suffer. He already had his son suffer. But there are times when suffering is part of those that we love. They go through stuff. We don't like it. We kind of might have even a shouting match with the Lord, as I have. And God's will says should commit themselves to their faithful creator. And then the part that's really hard is, and continue to do good. And continue to do good. Well, how about you or me? When I'm hurting, my focus isn't doing good. My focus is get rid of this problem. Anybody got a clue on that one?
Yes.
All right. So what good is it when we're suffering? What are we involved in? On Sunday, there was a vision that was given that was reminding me as I was driving home of what I went through back in the early 90s. The vision that was given for someone else was identical in part to the one that I had received from Diana Drew and Kay Pelagia. Word for word. Exactly the same thing. And now, here's my problem. I don't want that person to hurt. I don't want that person to go through what I went through. Got a clue?
Amen.
But I know that they're in danger because of that vision. That vision came to me in July. In September, I was in the hospital. I was going through unbelievable suffering because my knee was now the size of my waist. I had terrible infections, 2 surgeries later, blah, blah, blah. And I did commit myself to the Lord because part of that vision, which I still have in writing, by the way, because I don't remember who wrote it, but I remember receiving it because it was that important. And I was reading it in the hospital, taking unbelievable amounts of antibiotics and trusting the Lord that I wasn't going to lose my leg or my life. Well, Dr. Trump was my doctor at the time, so you guys know him. And he had given me an ultimatum. If the red line in my thigh went up past the halfway point that I was to call immediately the nurse, which I did on Sunday night. And so they doubled the antibiotics, and the rest is history. Another surgery, blah, blah, blah. So now I'm going flashbacks into my head about, wow, the suffering was, you can't describe it, because I think suffering is something that most people, when you're in it, you don't try to describe it.
Amen.
It's just horrible.
Amen.
Okay? Mm-hmm. But God chose that particular time slot to do an incredible miracle between me and one of my sisters. And so, out of the dilemma, I can remember saying, Jesus, I don't understand, but I'm going to praise you anyway. Because I knew 1 Thessalonians 5 was a reality for me. When I didn't know what to do, I was going to praise him. I was going to give him thanks. I was going to give him honor. No matter what was going on, I was trusting that he was going to turn this into a miracle for me. And he did. But that miracle was extended for many months. Because when I came home, they couldn't close the wound. I had to clean the wound out every single day. It had to heal from the inside out, so it was raw meat for months. And sitting in my chair, God allowed miracle after miracle because of the ways of the Holy Ghost using that particular time for me. Now, did it cause a headache for my wife? Of course. Did it cause a headache for my kids? Of course it did. Did they like watching me go through this? Absolutely not. But what was God doing? Watch again. So then those who suffer according to God's will. Yeah, right. I didn't like that part. My lawless attitude was showing up. My anger was showing up. My accusers were showing up. I had some religious folks that came and told me right into the hospital room, well, Kim, what did you do wrong? What kind of sin are you involved in? Yeah, that was my friends. I mean, with friends like that,
who needs an enemy?
And I said, Lord, this is no fun. Because if you think for one moment that it didn't sound good, oh, well, I must have done something stupid here. I must have pulled something off that I have no clue about. And God may have done me in like Job, you know, like, oh, how long is this going to take? And all I kept hearing is, give thanks. Give thanks. Don't try to figure it out. Don't use this box up here that you got on your shoulders. Use my book. And my book says to give thanks. 1 Thessalonians 5, 16, 17, and 18. So I gave thanks. Did I like the idea that I was going to commit myself to the faithful Creator and continue to do good? Well, as I tried to continue to do good and made decisions to fly out to the West Coast for the feast because I didn't want to miss, and I got accused of being unkind, not considerate. I could go on. How many know there's part of persecution that goes with that package? Okay? So what am I saying to all of you tonight? If you are suffering according to God's will, which is not a pretty word, commit yourself to Him. Make a real commitment to your Creator.
and to let him use whatever he has to awaken parts of what you are in or in for. Because you see, when I got basically back into town where I live, the vision that was given now was coming alive in me. And the Lord said, why are you now going to be interceding for this one who had the same warning? And I said, because of what I went through. Well, isn't that going to be used for my glory now, son? Oh, yeah. He said, didn't you say something about your very weaknesses would be passed on so that they would now become strengths? Which was the message from Sunday. I said, yeah. He said, eat your own medicine. Oh. Well, I wasn't thinking of it as medicine at the moment. But you see, I said, oh, yes, I am going to be able to help this person. Oh, yes, I already know what that vision means. Oh, I've experienced that vision. It never will leave me. Why? Because of the suffering that was attached. Because of the pain experienced. Because of the immense miracle that came between my sister and I. You see, it doesn't matter if you are in a painful space, if God has full control. Because out of it is going to come something awesome. And I don't want you to go through what I went through. But by golly, if you are also being prepared to help those down the road that go through something, and your experience has now become your strength, when you lay hands on them, they'll get delivered. Won't that be cool?
Amen.
Yes.
See? And so it's got to be connected. Okay? Verse 12. Chapter 4, 1 Peter, verse 12. Dear friends, do not be surprised at the painful trials you are suffering, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice that you participate in the suffering of the anointed. That's the word Christ. So that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. Yes! There will be glory out of what you're going through. And it will be revealed. So it's not hopeless, and it's not something that you're suffering for nothing. There is going to be glory to be revealed out of what you're into and what you're going through. 14. If you are insulted because of the name of Christ, you are blessed, for the Spirit of glory and the God of God's rest on you. Woo-hoo. Go back again. 14. If you are insulted because of the name of Christ, you are blessed. Well, I'll tell you, sitting in that hospital room being insulted, I didn't think I was being blessed at all. For the Spirit of glory and of God rests on you. I didn't feel his presence at the time. I felt insulted, I felt wounded, and I couldn't even defend myself. Because to be honest with you, the accuser was on my case whispering the very same thing. 15. If you suffer, it should not be as a murderer or a thief or any other kind of criminal or even as a meddler. However, if you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed, but praise God that you bear that name. For it is time for judgment to begin with the family of God, and if it begins with us, what will the outcome be for those who do not obey the gospel or the good news of God? And if it is hard for the righteous to be saved, what will become of the ungodly and the sinner? So then,
Those who suffer according to God's will should commit themselves to their faithful Creator and continue to do good. Say ouch.
Ouch.
But it's truth. Close your eyes right now. Put your hand over your heart. Say, Father, I'm going to give you thanks.
Father, I'm going to give you thanks.
For all the tests that I'm in.
For all the tests that I'm in.
All the hardships that I go through.
All the hardships that I go through.
They're really about you.
About you.
Doing a job in me.
Doing a healing in me.
Maybe that's a lot deeper.
Maybe that's a lot deeper.
Than what I know about right now.
What I know about right now.
So I'm going to give you praise
for the persecution.
Because it's part of being a Christian.
Because it's part of being a Christian.
And I give you all the glory.
As you continue
to use every area
of painful experiences
that I may be into right now.
And continue, Lord.
To lift up all the others that are listening to this.
To heal them and heal me.
To set them free and to set me free.
Because God will use it.
For His glory.
Because I've committed myself.
To my faithful Creator.
And continue to do good.
Amen.
And amen.